This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey guys, it's Grant Paulson. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast. We're changing things up. We're going to be making the show available for you 1 hour at a time. So if you're looking for a specific part of the hour of a show, look below at the description of what we've been talking about for time cues.
It's Danny. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you live on the radio from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. weekdays on 106.7 The Fan.
Fleming sets and throws, and it's intercepted. Bashaun Breeland. Breeland. Nobody near him. And Breeland waltzes into the end zone for a touchdown. 96 yards.
The most anticlimactic defensive touchdown maybe in world history. Because the game was over, 30-6. Most people had turned off their TVs. And if you were still watching like me and Danny, I mean, you couldn't have even cracked a smile.
I mean, what if I go, dude, fourth quarter, Bashaun Breeland, pick six.
Yeah.
How excited would you be? I'd be like, very.
I'd be like, wow.
That sounds awesome.
That could be enough. Maybe they get within a point or two. Maybe they take the lead. Maybe they seal a win.
He almost like apologized for going in the end zone. It's like, I got to do this. I got to finish this whole play.
Good for him for not being crazy celebrator afterwards.
Let me just get in. Yeah.
Let's go around the NFL with some of the other action yesterday in the National Football League. Start you off in Buffalo in overtime.
My favorite.
The Bills beat the Colts 13-7. This was your prototypical blizzard condition snow game. Several inches of snow on the field. Jacoby Brissett threw all of 22 passes. Nathan Peterman knocked out of the game with a concussion, had thrown just 10 at that time. Joe Webb finished the game at quarterback for the Bills, who were without Tyrod Taylor. LeSean McCoy, 32 for 156 in a touchdown, turning the clocks back 30 years ago. Frank Gore just doesn't age. 36 for 130. I think his longest carry was 10, and he had 130 rushing yards on 36 attempts. This was old school smash mouth, pushing match football. It was super fun to watch, though.
This was my favorite. I feel bad for both fan bases because your game obviously was influenced by that. But for my entertainment purposes, nothing is higher to me. That I covet that. I want snow situations. That was awesome. Maybe the game of the day, a nominee for one at least. And it had a lot of implication in the National Football Conference. Carolina held serve against the Minnesota Vikings. The biggest play in the game was a Cam Newton keeper with about 2:30 to go. One of those read option plays I've heard so much about. Looked like he got himself a nice little gainer and then put the safety in a rehabilitation program where his jock strap.
See you later.
Oh, it was nasty. A terrific, terrific play. Carolina finishes them off 31-24. Great ball game. Two teams that are really, really, really good.
Yeah, it was fun to watch. Case Keenum threw a couple picks against a good defense with a little bit more put on his plate. But then he bounced back and played really well. And Minnesota's defense, the Vikings made some huge plays late in that game before they gave up that big run by Cam Newton. To get back into it, they got an interception and a short field and came back from down 11 at one point in the fourth quarter. Packers beat the Browns 27-21. Green Bay keeps its playoff hopes alive at 7-6. If they win out, they're very likely a playoff team based on tie-breaking metrics, which means we could see Aaron Rodgers again, who is healing. I would imagine that some of the people out there listening right now owe Mike McCarthy an apology because Brett Hundley the last few weeks came around, didn't he? He ended up throwing for 265 and three touchdowns, no interceptions, almost like keeping a guy you've invested a lot of time and energy into that knows your offense
is
on
a
the
good
field
idea.
Might make some sense. Jamal Williams caught 7 balls out of the backfield, including a 30-yard touchdown. He also rushed a team-high 15 times for 50 yards. Story of the game, well, twofold for Cleveland. One, Josh Gordon caught his first touchdown since 2014. Also had a 38-yard grab down the sideline, went for 70 yards. He looks like he's going to be a player again, and like he never missed any time. Second, maybe more important for Cleveland, DeShone Kizer's struggles continue. 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, including a play in overtime where he basically just threw the ball as he was being hit, 50 feet into the air into the waiting arms of a Green Bay defender. I saw a tweet from Chad I loved where he basically said, Kizer should be put into witness program protection immediately. How do you get out of the stadium? They should have won three different times, and they weren't able to. The Browns are 0-13. They are the first team in the history of the NFL to fall to 0-13 to start two straight seasons. Crazy.
Tennessee's got eight wins, in the words of Eddie. She falls down a well, eyes go across. She gets kicked by a mule to go back to normal. I don't know. They lost to Arizona, who wasn't very good either. This was one of the worst games
the
of the day.
What did that mean?
What does it mean? What does it mean? What do you mean? What does it mean?
What does that mean?
It means I can't explain it. I can't explain it, this Tennessee team with terrible quarterback play.
What is that from?
Christmas vacation. It's Christmas season. You don't recognize Christmas vacation?
I mean, that's my favorite Christmas movie. Say it again.
Falls down a well, eyes go across. She gets kicked by a mule to go back to normal. I don't know. Eddie.
Why don't I remember that?
Eddie's talking about Ruby Sue.
I have no
file. You got no file on that?
Nothing.
It's only really famous. Point is, Tennessee's gross at 8-5. Arizona's worse. That was a 12-7 game. Someone had to win it, I guess. Maybe they could have tied, which would have been fitting. It's gross. Marcus Mariota has been a crushing disappointment as a quarterback this year. Now, we're not noticing as much because, again, it's a winning record in a terrible division. But I will say this. Him and Jameis Winston together are the leaders of the, I thought it would be better than this, brigade. It's not better than this. It's bad. But here's Tennessee still in a good spot.
I thought Jameis Winston would be a lot better than this. I didn't think Marcus Mariota would be better than this. I am out completely on whatever that is. In college, transition to the NFL, there are going to be a couple guys where it works. By and large, it's not going to. So Lamar Jackson, no thank you. That's just not happening. Marcus Mariota is not a good passer, period. And the Titans are going to pay the price for it, whether it's now or in the playoffs. Luckily, they're in a pretty bad division. I want to get into the Jaguars still. We could do that next. The Chiefs got a huge win over the Raiders. Jimmy Garoppolo looked really good again. The Cowboys had a huge fourth quarter. And the Broncos did something they hadn't done in over 2 months. Grant and Danny going around the NFL. We'll continue next on The Fan.
Aren't crossed anymore.
That's something, ain't it? She falls in a well, eyes go cross. She gets kicked by a mule, they go back to normal. I don't know.
We dug deep in the files all the way to just a popular scene in a great movie.
Wouldn't do that, Ed. They got a lip fungus ain't quite identified yet.
I got to watch that again. I haven't seen it yet this December. It is my number one Christmas movie.
It's before Randy Quaid went ahead and lost his marbles, to put it gently and kindly.
You think?
This is, to me, the definitive flick, because there's so many, there's a million things in there that are so perfect. The next door neighbors, the yuppies, like the workouts with their ponytail, like their weird suits and that kind of stuff. When Clark yells at her, bend over him, and I'll show you. You got a lot of nerve talking to me that way, Griswold. Yeah. I wasn't talking to you. I'm just aces.
Yeah.
Why is the carpet wet, Todd? Perfect.
Great movie.
And this here's our pride and joy. Snot.
Snot.
I'll check it out for you. Again tonight. You should. And then tomorrow. And then every day thereafter.
It's the best one.
Yeah, you can't do much better. All right, let's continue our trip around the NFL with some of the big games of the weekend. Have not yet gotten into the AFC West, so let's go Chiefs, Raiders, 26-15. Despite Oakland scoring all of its points unanswered in the fourth quarter, this was a 26-0 game at one point. Alex Smith had a get-right game the last couple of weeks in a row now, 268 yards for him, did throw an interception. Kareem Hunt rushed for a 116. Tyrell Cogos for 75. Travis Kelce, 74. They spread the ball around. Albert Wilson went for 72 through the air. The Raiders were just bad. Defensively had no answers, and again, until garbage time, were getting shut out in this game for three quarters.
San Francisco and Houston, it's just a shame. I wonder what Houston could have been with Deshaun Watson. I still think they had enough flaws where they were going to fall off, but that offense was just different. I mean, despite DeAndre Hopkins having 11 catches for a 150 and two touchdowns in this ball game, they couldn't really run it, couldn't really do much dynamic in terms of offense other than to throw it up into double coverage and let DeAndre Hopkins make great plays. But San Francisco looked pretty good in this ballgame. They did not look like a 3-10 team here. Jimmy Garoppolo is competent. I don't know if he's going to set the world on fire. I think with a larger sample, defenses and coordinators would kind of figure out what to do and what he likes and doesn't like.
Well, if you're competent in a Kyle Shanahan offense, you're going to be good. And if you're good in a Kyle offense, you're going to be great.
20 for 33, 334 yards, and a touchdown. San Francisco is playing this very well. They're going to show just enough, I think, of Garoppolo to make him very attractive. If they believe it, they can sign him. If not, I think they can use some leverage to spin him around. It's interesting what's going on there. But Garoppolo looked really good. Carlos Hyde was good in the running game. Marcus Goodwin, 106 yards on six catches. Ball got spread around. Good day to be a Celek. Two catches, 67 yards, and a touchdown for it's not the main Celek. It's the second Celek. His name starts with a G.
Garrett.
It's not Brent. It's the one.
30-10, Cowboys over the Giants. 20-point fourth quarter for Dallas. Game was 10-10 going into the fourth. Pretty competitive. Looked for a little while like the Giants might knock off and upset the Cowboys. But in the end, Eli Manning, whose day started with a standing ovation as he took the field with the offense after being benched last week, threw two interceptions, and it was hard to overcome some of the mistakes. Dak Prescott played really well in the second half, ended up going for 330 yards and three touchdowns. Far and away the best game he turned in the four he had to play without Ezekiel Elliott. Alfred Morris's time as the starter ends now with Elliott coming back from suspension. Morris just 62 yards, a long run on the day of 9. Couple of big plays broken for Dallas to kind of bust the game open. Rod Smith, 81-yard catch and run from Prescott on a running back check down. And then you had Dez Bryant, a 50-yard catch and run for a touchdown on a broken tackle. Jason Witten scored on a 20-yard throw as well. Cowboys win going away. Game was close for three quarters, though.
Episode of Family Guy, Cleveland watches Skeet Ulrich go by on a stretcher and says to him, "There's nothing good about what you do or who you are." That's me talking to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They couldn't even win that one. Their defense forced a couple different turnovers. Matt Stafford was just recklessly slinging the ball around. They couldn't run it, and yet somehow they found a way to lose. Detroit still alive and kicking. They are the very definition of just okay. That's what the Detroit Lions are. They're going to force some turnovers on occasion. You can move the football against them. You could score against them. You could do almost whatever you want to do. If you just don't screw up, you get to win the football game. But Tampa Bay screwed up. That's what they do. They can't run it, et cetera, so on. Dirk Cutter's days just look numbered. He looks beaten, and his post-game presser was one of those stand-up tough guy talk, but it looks bad. The operation doesn't look right. Winston has, I think he's got 52 turnovers in 30-some career starts at this point that he's responsible for when you include interceptions and fumbles. It hasn't progressed like they thought, man. They can't find a way to use their great weapons. Mike Evans, two receptions, 25 yards. That's just not good enough, man. It's just not good enough.
Jaguars 30, Seahawks 24. Matchup of playoff teams from the NFC superior to the AFC, but it was the AFC team that got a win. Jacksonville now 9-4. Seattle falls to 8-5. Blake Bortles outplayed Russell Wilson in this game. Now, Wilson was really good and elevated the play of the guys around him, as he normally does. Three touchdowns, 271 yards, but also three interceptions in this game. Bortles did not throw a pick, had 265 and two through the air, completed two-thirds of his passes, 18 of 27. Leonard Fournette, tough sledding between the tackles, 100 yards and a touchdown, a long of 15. They had a 34-yard run ripped off by Chris Ivory as well. Look out for Keelan Cole. He seems to make big plays for this Jacksonville offense. Had a 75-yard touchdown catch on a beautiful scissors concept. Perfectly thrown, dropped out in front of him by Bortles. 99-yard game for him. I love DeeDee Westbrook at Oklahoma. Was a huge believer in him. Had some red flags. The 24-year-old had five catches for 81 yards and a touchdown yesterday, including a 29-yard reception. Tyler Lockett, Doug Baldwin both had touchdown catches for Seattle. So did Paul Richardson. They scored from 61, 74 on some of their big plays. But Jacksonville's defense got pressure, made some plays. Bortles was really good, and the Jaguars had a huge win over a good team. Jacksonville on its way maybe to winning the AFC South and perhaps to being a team nobody wants to play come the postseason.
Yeah, Blake Bortles is okay. They're dangerous. The Denver Broncos, this is an obscure rule in football. You may not have known this. Each team, when they possess the football, let's say your team has the ball, you've got four downs to acquire 10 yards. If you're able to do that, you get another set of four downs. The Denver Broncos, numbers approximate, hadn't achieved one of these first downs, quote-unquote, in about 6 months, as they had lost every single game and looked terrible and their offense is reprehensible. They beat the New York Football Jets 23-0. They amassed 17 first downs, 23 total points. A breakout game for Denver's offense. Light the beacons of Minas Tirith a fantastic outing for the Denver Broncos when everything looked like it was going for naught. The season still lost and everything, but it still was impressive the way they dismantled the Jets and pitched a shutout. The defense is still capable. Trevor Siemian is not, but it was enough on this day with Demaryius Thomas, 93 yards and a touchdown.
You know when I was burying 35-year-old Ben Roethlisberger about 6 weeks ago?
Dude.
His demise exaggerated, and I was wrong. He threw the ball 66 times for 506 yards and 2 touchdowns yesterday. Didn't throw any picks, maybe more importantly. Le'Veon Bell, 2 rushing touchdowns and 9 catches out of the backfield. Jesse James, the tight end, had a field day, 10 for 97. Antonio Brown, the best wide receiver in football, went for 213 on 11 catches for Pittsburgh. They win a shootout against the Ravens, 39-38, outscored Baltimore 19-7 in the fourth quarter. They led big early, then fell behind after they got outscored 17-0 in the third quarter, then came storming back with multiple touchdowns in the fourth, led by Roethlisberger. Game-winning field goal from Boswell in the final minute. He might be the best kicker in the league outside of Justin Tucker, who played in the same game last night.
What a ball game.
That was fun.
I did not have that in the office pool. In fact, in two fantasy leagues where money was on the line, I was going up against a guy that had Roethlisberger and Brown. I'm going, well, maybe it's a divisional game, and this will be that defensive struggle. Nope. Got myself dismissed summarily from the postseason.
That was your trip around the NFL. A couple of you want to weigh in on the Redskins on the way out. That is cool. We will let you do that. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. You can listen to 106.7 The Fan anytime, anywhere. Darrell is in D.C. Darrell, how are you? Darrell, go ahead. You're on the radio. Leave. You are botching your opportunity to offer.
You get nothing, sir.
Perhaps he may or may not like it. I don't know. He may not like it, but that's the way the cookie's going to crumble today. Put a little bow on the Redskins and the Chargers. One final thought on the game, because as of tomorrow, we can start to look ahead a little bit. I think this was kind of that last gasp for the fan base collectively. You know, if today's any indication, and perhaps it's just a slow Monday or the holiday seasons, people took off to do some shopping, who knows. But it seems to me like the energy from the fan base down today,
yeah,
the response not only to the topics, the questions we had down, I think it's kind of over in terms of the passion for this year. That isn't to say you're going to go away forever, but people are going to turn the page now, and they'll be back a month or so from now when the offseason starts to talk about the draft and free agency.
The only passion left is for wanting a result, meaning they want someone to be the fall guy or guys for this. That's the only passion that's left from the fan base. And it stinks. It stinks that we're here again. It's a December to remember. It's what we do here in Washington. The anomalies are playing meaningful games. This is what's more normal. So I agree with you. People have asked, what time is checkout? I mean, they are now making their preparations to do other stuff. Sundays are free. I saw that joke a trillion times, whether it's via Twitter, Facebook, or kind of whatever else. This is an annual rite of passage.
How does that joke go exactly?
Meaning, like, what else? What's on Netflix? I've got plenty of room on Sundays.
Or, oh, there was
well, I guess
a lot
my
of
Sundays are free, which, listen, this is what you wrought. I mean, I understand that. It's not everybody's job to be a professional punching bag. It's not everyone's job to watch a team and have them disappoint you year after year. This is right. Supposed to be a recreational fun activity. If you're not getting fun out of it, I understand checking out another December. I do.
Supposed to be joyous.
Yeah, it's not something that I do. I you know, pull my eyes back and basically make them bleed Clockwork Orange style to make sure I see every detail so I remind myself next time someone's like, you're too negative. Nope, just correct. 26 years of correct samples, me being right and the optimistic person being wrong. That's why I watch. I watch for ammunition. I watch for fuel because that's what kind of leads me to my next meal.
I watch because it's what I've always done.
Mm-hmm.
It's what I know. It's kind of just how I do it. I don't really know another way. And because I enjoy it still. I mean, I've said it a lot. We get 16 of these. And then I got to wait several months to try it again back until next August. So I got 3 more of them. I got 12 more quarters of football. And I care. Do I care about LaShun Daniels? I don't know that person, to be honest with you. But you wear burgundy and gold, and you wear that helmet out on that field, I want to watch you play. I want to see what the result is. There are enough guys out there that I do care about. There are enough storylines on what is Docs and what isn't he. Can P. Ryan be a guy you build the running game around? Is Trent Williams or Zach Brown going to be rewarded for playing their butt off, as hurt as they are?
Let's do that this week, by the way. Like, if you are tuning in, who do you have circled? Because I'm with you. Those are some of the names that I care about. You know what I mean?
That list isn't that long, though.
I know, and that's a problem.
Because I feel like we know a lot of who's who and what's what. Like, don't you feel like even with a guy like Preston Smith, decent football player, we know what Preston Smith is after the last, is it three seasons now?
Yeah.
I believe, 15, 16, 17. With Junior Gallette, I've got a pretty good beat on this at this point. Now, he may improve even more a year removed from injury next year. He's not an impact guy, but he's certainly someone, if you can keep him around on the cheap, that could help you. Somebody wants to pay him, I will let them pay him. Because he's not going out and getting you 8 or 9 sacks, I don't think. You're going to get Trent Murphy back. But you look across the board, Zach Vigil, I kind of know what that is. That's a guy that can play hard and make some tackles for you in the second half of a season that's lost as a second division team. He's not going to go out and
mention them. I want to know about Ryan Anderson. I want to know about Fabian Moreau.
Definitely want to see those guys.
I want to know about Quentin Dunbar, because the Redskins now are in the phase of, let's see what life without Bashaud Boolen looks like.
I got a good feel on Quentin Dunbar at this point.
I thought I did too, but I'd like to see if they look smart or dumb over these last couple weeks, prognosticating for the following years. I mean, what's Jeremy Sprinkle besides a guy that had one good end zone celebration that time? I'd like to know. I'd like to see some of these things in action.
Yeah, we'll get to. 3 games left. That's what it's going to be all about. Chad Dukes versus the world at 2 o'clock. If you missed Kirk Cousins today, you can go to grantanddanny.com/audio. Podcasts available for you. We podcast by the hour now with some timestamps to make it easy for you. So go check out the new podcast site.
For GP, I'm Danny. Thanks to Brock and E-Rock for helping us out today. Well, a couple guys are out sick. CDB2W is up next. Boom.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.